Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our very good friend, Andy Liu. He covers the Warriors for Warriors World. You can follow him at Twitter at Andy, K-H-Liu, L-I-U. Andy, good afternoon. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing all right. You guys sound like you're having fun on here.
That's all we do is have fun, man.
We can't help it. We don't know what we're talking about, so we got to have some fun.
And Andy, you know that, man. Sports should be fun, period, man.
Yeah, that's what I always say. If even playing basketball when you're young, all the way to if you're coaching, you're old, it's, you know, end of the day, if you're not getting paid for it, just have fun, man.
There it is, right there. Yeah, let me tell you, I'm not getting paid much, so my only alternative
but
is
you're
to
getting,
have some fun.
But you're getting paid. That's all that matters.
That's true.
Andy,
that's
let's go ahead. Andy, this week right here, I guess we can say was a great week for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, just to kind of go back to Monday, we were kind of looking for the rematch right there at Oracle against the Cavs, beat them by 35, OKC with Westbrook going down, thanks to Zaza, by 21 points on Wednesday, and then, of course, Harden and the Rockets in Houston in their home court, 125-108. How do you sum up this week for the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, I think pretty much – well, they still have a game tomorrow, though that's going to be rough considering it's a 9 a.m. start on the West Coast. But I think to summarize this week, it's just nobody is on the Warriors level when they try or when they play well, not even the defending champions. The Warriors, when they lose, it's usually a confluence of factors of where the other team is playing really, really well, and the Warriors are not playing well, but not because of the opponents, but because of themselves. Like, they tend to turn the ball over, or maybe they're not focused, things like that. So when the Warriors play well, they tend to win and win by a lot. And this week, I think they saw the schedule, came in and said, hey, we're going to make a statement, and tried to make a statement, and that's what happened against three teams that – you know, some people have been saying they lost to Memphis, they lost to Houston, they lost to Cleveland. You know, they lost to the Spurs as well. So, you know, their losses have been against the cream of the crop in the NBA. So this was a good week for them to kind of tell people that, hey, we're still the best team when we actually care.
Yeah, Andy, I got to say, last year felt a lot like an NBA opera. There was so much drama in the Warriors. Every single game was that, you know, that pursuit of 73. Every single game was the Warriors kind of getting back for the league of saying that the reason why they won was because of injuries to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. This year hasn't been as interesting, although there are some little tidbits here and there that you can dig into. I think one of the most interesting things of the Warriors season thus far has been these huge third quarters. Everyone kind of looks forward to it. I know, you know, me and my pops will get on the line, and we're expecting the Warriors to come out and blow a team out in the third quarter. Last night, they did the same thing, you know, outscored the Rockets by 15 points. They're averaging 30 points overall in the fourth quarter. I'm a little apprehensive for the Warriors to rely on that, but do you think it's a testament to the coaching staff adjustments? Do you think it takes a half for these Warriors to really kind of warm up and get into the game? They kind of seem disinterested sometimes in the first quarter. What do you think it is about these big third quarters?
Yeah, I think it's more so the latter part of that. I don't think they're necessarily doing anything too different or too crazy. Kerr's offensive system and Rod Adams' defensive schemes, they're all pretty much entrenched now at this point in the third season. So nothing too crazy on that end that they do. The variations are all, or what they do out of the offense is all based on feel and what the players want as well. But I think it's more of this team knows that, hey, we don't actually have to try for 48 minutes. If we keep the game close and, you know, screw around and, you know, don't really have to play defense, they usually do that for an entire half. But maybe they're up by 5 points or they're down by 5 points or it's a tie game. All they have to do is go on a 5-minute run and they're up by 20 and they'll win. And so I think a lot of the times that they'll just, you know, like you said, play disinterested, not focused, you know, not really care about what's going on. And then the third quarter rolls around and they're like, okay, you know what? It's time that we actually make put our stamp in this game. And all of a sudden they turn up the defense. And then they start making shots. all the shots are usually open anyway. So, you know, the moment that they actually start making stops, namely Draymond Green, starts to actually play defense, then it's over. And they only need about 5 minutes for that to happen. So, and last year, Steph had some great third quarters as well. He was actually known for, you know, exploding in the third quarter. And like you said, they are a little bit different in that. They're kind of boring, I guess, so to say, this season. I think it's just because that they're so good that you just, there's just nothing that they need to do. You know, last year they needed Steph to be great, really, to win
it's
a
true.
Lot of their games.
It's a great point.
Out. And this year, it's, they don't have to be great. Like, Steph can just play for 10 minutes, really good for 10 minutes. KD will take care of the rest. Or Dre and Clay will take, like, it's, they don't really do much, and they'll still win a game. It's kind of ridiculous, but like you said, it could be boring, and we're all just really sitting here waiting until April, May, and June.
I think we're spoiled.
I think we're spoiled. Such a crazy to think about. 10, 15 years ago, man, we were literally, we would be begging for a game in which the Warriors would be up by 5.5. And now when they're up by 5.5, we're concerned. We're talking about it, Andy.
Speaking of concern or their lack of, Andy, I'll let you speak on this. David West goes down with a fracture in his left thumb. When he's in, he's averaging 4 points, 2.7 rebounds, and 2.1 assists. Okay for coming off the bench for who David West is. Is this of any concern of Steve Kerr, or does this give him some time, or should I say some leeway to kind of experiment off the bench?
Yeah, I think this is concerning in that David West has been awesome this season. Probably their best big man off the bench, and at times has really been better than Zaza as well. I think he's the second best guy. He should be coming right off instead of JaVale. He's been great on offense. Passing has been awesome. I think he's good at passing because, unlike Bogut, he can actually score. So the fact that he's a threat on the floor makes, you know, even more, you know, makes it possible that there are more passing lanes. Whereas Bogut was just there and he was forcing passes into those lanes where people were cheating off of him. So West makes life a lot easier on that end. I think what this does and what it allows the Warriors to do, and what I think they should do, is play the small lineup more, because it hasn't been actually good this season. Last year, it was astronomical. They called it a death lineup. That was how good it was. This year, it's been more like, it's been more mediocre, you know, and you're talking about replacing Harrison Barnes with Kevin Durant, and you were talking about a downgrade in terms of statistics, and they just haven't looked comfortable together in those small lineups, and they're not really playing so much as well. They used to play, it was always the last 5 minutes of the half and then the 5 minutes of the game. In the last couple weeks, they really haven't played the last 5 minutes of the half, and the games have been blowouts, so they haven't really played together at all. So I think instead of, you know, forcing minutes to McAdoo and Barajal and JaVale, you know, like those minutes, you know, in the grand scheme of things don't matter, right? It doesn't help these players actually get better. So I would assume or I would hope that Kerr would go small more. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, though, because it's just not how he operates. But they do need to get some reps together. You know, you can't just throw something on the floor, no matter how great these guys are, and expect it to automatically become awesome. So I think that's something they should experiment with. But, you know, again, it's kind of nitpicking, you know. We're talking about a small lineup with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green in the front court with Clay, Iguodala, and Steph, you know. So it's going to be great regardless. I just want to see it on the floor more as well.
We're talking to Andy Liu. He covers the Warriors for Warriors World. You can follow him at Andy K. Liu. Andy, a couple quick questions before we let you go. First and foremost, I guess the trade line is looming, and there are fans who are clamoring for the Warriors to
February
23rd. Mm-hmm. Fans who are clamoring for the Warriors to make a move. I don't think that they should. I don't think they need to. But if they do, do you think it's possible they would bring in a big man, maybe another shooting guard to back up, take some of those backup minutes? Where do you think the Warriors will make a move, and what will it be?
I don't think so. If it is, it'll be something, you know, along the lines of, it's not going to be a trade because I don't think they can get anyone. They can't have money on the salary cap for next year as well. They need to be able to pay KD and Curry, who are likely going to re-sign, or maybe.
You never know.
But they need to clear out that cap space. So it won't be anybody like, you know, you think of a Tyson Chandler who might be a buyout candidate, but he's got money on the books, you know, for the next couple of seasons, or at least next season, so we can't do that. But if anything, I think it'll be a guard. If it is a buyout candidate, someone along the lines of maybe Mario Chalmers or Jose Calderon.
Okay.
Not necessarily going to be someone that's going to get, you know, maybe not in the playoffs. Maybe they're going to play a couple minutes, but in the regular season, that can soak up some minutes on that side, because Ian Clark's been awesome, but he's struggled lately. you know, the call's not ready. So, you know, there's minutes there. And garbage time, they're always playing Sean Livingston in garbage time, and then they're playing, like, three centers as well. So, you know, McAdoo and Varejao are just an essential waste of a roster spot at this point. So, you know, if they want to get rid of one of them, and they'll probably look at one of those veteran guards. Nothing too exciting, but their roster imbalance is pretty it's not pretty on the back end. But, again, we're nitpicking. I think that that's all anybody can do with the Warriors at this
right,
point in terms
right.
of criticism.
Anything from Damian Jones, real quick, the rookie? I'm waiting to hear from this kid. I know that we had some high hopes for him. Should I just back off and we'll wait till next season?
Yeah, I think you might have to wait a season or two in this case. The injury setback has been bad. And the thing with rookies is that they need a training camp because he really has no idea when he's on the floor and what he's doing in the NBA. So he'll be in the D League likely for the rest of the year, and I think he will be for next year as well. He's going to spend a lot of time there because he's really not ready just in terms mentally, physically at this point. But he's got that type of explosiveness that is kind of scary. You know, it's like kind of
sexy. Yeah, he looks good.
And he's got good hands as well. So there are some things that, and when you're playing with the Warriors for the next couple of seasons, they're not asking him to do much. If he can defend, if he's smart enough to defend, and he's able to leap and jump like JaVale, then that's really all you need. Because the problem with JaVale right now is he can't defend. He has no idea what's going on the court, on the defensive end. So if Damian Jones is able to adapt there, and he has quick feet, he's going to be he has that potential to be Festus-like, that he can jump out on guards and forwards on screens. So he has that potential to be a defensive anchor. But again, he's a season or two away. I think McCall is going to be somebody that they'll rely on more next year as well, because one of Livingston and Iguodala are likely to be gone.
There you go. Andy, always appreciate you having on, man, more than anything, your knowledge, your insight. And thank you for coming on, and have a great weekend and enjoy the game early tomorrow morning if you wake up that early.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, keep having fun on here. Huh?
I will do, man. Thank you, man. That's Andy Liu, covers the Warriors for Warriors World. You can follow him at Twitter at AndyKHLiu. That's L-I-U. Great cat right there.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.